This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. The 2008 economic recession hit hard in Milwaukee. The housing market wasn't spared, and with it came a wave of foreclosures, and in many places, property values still haven't quite recovered. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel recently reported that the city's housing market shows a dramatic decline in owner-occupied residential properties and hundreds of millions of dollars in housing wealth leaving the state. While looking at those numbers, Mike Goucher and John Johnson noticed that just before the recession, 80% of city residences were owner-occupied. By 2019, that number fell to 69%. The patterns also show that the city's north and west sides are impacted more as landlord addresses outside of Wisconsin quadrupled during the same time frame. Goucher is a distinguished fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School, and Johnson is a research fellow at the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. Goucher and Johnson spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski, and Johnson starts by explaining how the recession helped set the stage for this property trend.
I'll preface this by saying that we specifically looked at homes, not apartment buildings. So that includes single-family homes, condos, duplexes, and the handful of triplexes and quadplexes that are in the city. And that covers 70% of all of the city's residential housing units. And what we found is that in 2005, 80% of those were owner-occupied, and at the end of 2019, just 69% were.
And that's a pretty significant number.
It's about 14,000, I think, different residential properties over that same period of time. So it is a big difference, and it's a big difference compared to what had been historic norms in the 1990s or early 2000s. Owner occupancy in Milwaukee remained pretty stable, and that changed after the Great Recession.
Right. So we had a tidal wave of foreclosures, residential property values, they plummeted basically. Some neighborhoods in the city are starting to bounce back. You do see a lot of neighborhoods like Bayview, Wauwatosa. Housing prices are far above assessed value. People are buying them, you know, sometimes $20,000 over asking. But in a lot of other areas of the city, that's definitely still not the case. So how does Milwaukee compare to other cities of similar size and makeup when it comes to the rebound of neighborhoods since the recession?
I think it depends on the community. There are certainly cities in this country that have seen real estate values bounce back in a big way. You talk about places like Boston and Phoenix and Los Angeles and San Francisco. All of those cities have seen a market appreciation in real estate values since the end of the Great Recession. Then you have another tier of cities, and I think Milwaukee could safely be included among them, that have had much slower appreciation since the end of the Great Recession. John will probably be able to give you more details on this, but I think what we saw is that there was a gradual improvement beginning in about 2016 or 2017. We started to see values go up a little bit again, but prior to that, after the recession, there wasn't much movement.
It's still pretty recent history.
That is recent history.
Yeah. So, John, can you touch upon that, how we were slower to get those appreciating values?
Yeah. And while there's this divide between American cities, there's also this sort of same divide within the city of Milwaukee, where you see neighborhoods in the 3rd, 4th, 11th, and 13th aldermanic districts, so the east side, downtown, sort of southwestern Milwaukee and the far south side, doing pretty well. Their owner occupancy has only declined 5%. But then the neighborhoods in the city more to the north and northwest side have declined much more precipitously, and their home values haven't really started to come back. In the 1st, 2nd, and 7th aldermanic districts of Milwaukee, owner occupancy has fallen by 20% or more over that period.
Right. So you mentioned the north and west side. So how does this impact Milwaukee's minority communities? Because the recession also hit various communities throughout Milwaukee in very different ways.
We found that people of color were hit the hardest by what happened during the Great Recession and its immediate aftermath. So we saw the rates of home ownership amongst Latinos, African Americans drop considerably more than it did for white people in Milwaukee. So I think it's safe to say that the people of color felt the impact of the Great Recession and what followed more than others in the city did.
Home ownership fell 5.5% in the majority white parts of the city, 10.3% in the majority Latino areas, and 16.6% in the majority black neighborhoods.
So how does this continue to impact? Because we're still struggling to recover from a recession. And if people are living in a neighborhood where a majority of the properties are owned by people outside of the city or even outside of the state in some cases, and with property values, even if they recover, Milwaukee residents can't receive a share of that return. So how does this impact the real people living here in Milwaukee?
Right now, $580 million worth of Milwaukee property values are owned outside of Wisconsin, not even just outside of Milwaukee, outside of the state altogether. And that's an increase of $396 million since 2005. And those numbers are inflation adjusted.
So I think if you're a citizen in Milwaukee, there's a, I guess there's a certain competition for real estate, and some of your competitors may in fact be people from out of state who are either doing this as part of a business model or have a strictly an investment opportunity in mind, as opposed to some citizens who might say, I would like to own a home because I think over time it's a way to build some wealth. Of course, there's a great debate now about whether that's all changed, how people feel about housing as an investment now. So the question would be, what would happen if there were not the out-of-state investments or the investments by people who live in the suburbs? That's a whole other question. It's a whole other issue. It's one we did not attempt to answer in this study.
Even if attitude towards homeownership has changed since the recession, especially, these numbers that you show and have discovered are pretty steep to have it all be a testament to that. So what do you think are some of the other factors? Is there something that is making Milwaukee or Wisconsin a place that people from out of the state are seeing as a place to invest in? Is there certain characteristics of the city that is kind of setting the stage for this much growth of outside ownership?
I think one of the key factors is the affordability of real estate in Milwaukee. So let's say you are an out-of-state interest and you look at Milwaukee and you say, I can buy a home for $30,000 or $20,000. I can hold on to that home. It may not appreciate much in value, but if I charge the right amount for rent, I can make a profit on this and pay for this house in a very short period of time. So I think that makes it a very lucrative market. It's the affordability, the inexpensive real estate that exists in Milwaukee that I think has made this a business model that can work for people who don't live here.
In regards to that business model, it's true that they can, of course, make that money back and then some, but are they necessarily investing in these properties that they're buying? Are they making it a better state for people to live in if, for example, they can't afford to buy a house at this moment and a lot of people in the city have to rent? But in a time where even rents are far surpassing average mortgage payments, how does this – is there a balance? It doesn't seem so.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right. I mean, people are – in some of the neighborhoods that I've looked at, paying the entire value of the home they're renting in like 4 years, which is not a normal ratio for more economically advantaged neighborhoods in the city.
How does this attest to our long-term growth as a city? What does this mean in the long run, not just economically, but as you mentioned, we used to have the ideal that owning property is the right step in our lives, take pride in our land, our neighborhoods. We have pride in where we live. And if we are just trying to survive rent check to rent check, what does that do for Milwaukee as a whole?
Well, I think one of the big questions is what it does to what I guess sociologists would call the social cohesion of a neighborhood. So if you have a neighborhood that historically has had almost all owner occupancy, in other words, the people who live there are bound by this common thread, which is that we have invested in our homes. They are us. I think if you take that away and all of a sudden you start having more and more properties that are not owned by someone who lives in the area, there is at least the chance, and again, we are not looking at this in this story, but there's at least the chance that distance can have some less pleasant consequences for people in that neighborhood. In reaction to this story, I had I got an email from a friend of mine, actually another reporter who lived in the Washington Heights area, and he said, you know, you point to something that's very interesting. He said, for years, I knew who the landlord was of the property next door to me. And he said, and so if there was ever any thing that came up that was a problem, I could contact that person. It would get resolved immediately. He said, the landlord eventually sold the house, and he sold it to an out-of-state business. And he said, I don't even know how to get a hold of the out-of-state business. I had a problem come up, and it was really a kind of an ordeal trying to resolve the problem because I didn't know ultimately who was responsible. So I think that's one of the challenges that neighborhoods face when you have an increasing number of properties like that.
And to give you a sense of the scale of that effect, we've found that half of all rented properties are now owned by someone with an address outside of Milwaukee.
And there's an image of maps comparing 2005 to 2019, and the difference is really stark.
It is.
Not just for inside of Milwaukee, the city, but also kind of bleeding into some of the other neighborhoods, suburbs area. So you mentioned this doesn't include apartments, big complexes, things like that. But is this pattern of decline in owner occupancy the same for all of the housing types that you studied outside of including apartments and other complexes like that?
It has affected all of them in similar ways. We saw a 12% decline in owner occupancy for single family homes and duplexes both, but also a 10% decline for triplexes and these four unit homes you see sometimes, as well as a 9% decline for condos.
You mentioned this could be a reflection of people's changing attitudes towards buying homes, but considering it's still pretty recent history of recovering from a recession and seeing the inflation of housing around Milwaukee and some things like, I don't know if the people outside of the state have the wherewithal to predict the DNC coming or things like that. A lot of people go to Airbnbs as option to make extra money, but this must go beyond that than making a few extra bucks when you're not home or investing in a rental property.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is an awful lot of properties in all parts of the city, and they're properties that in many cases are, as I said before, very affordable. And so they're middle-class properties, or maybe they're properties that have fallen into some state of disrepair, neighborhoods that are struggling a bit right now. And so it's something we see across the city. Some areas are doing better. John pointed them out. There's certain parts of Milwaukee that the neighborhoods have not been hit by this in the same way, and they're still pretty healthy neighborhoods. But then you have parts of particularly the north side and the west side of Milwaukee, and more recently even the northwest side, where you begin to see that there are an awful lot of properties being rented, and an awful lot of properties now being rented by entities that are outside the city of Milwaukee.
So based on your numbers that you gathered here, is it fair to make a prediction that this could lead to the decline of neighborhoods? Or, I mean, outside of neighborhood pride, homeownership pride, but the larger implications for Milwaukee as a whole?
We did see a very small uptick in the number of owner occupiers in 2019 compared to 2018. So maybe the free fall has bottomed out.
What other things are yet to be answered? You mentioned a lot of this sparks a lot of questions, and this is just the numbers for now. But what else are we going to try and look into?
Well, I think there are a couple of big questions, and that is, John just addressed one of them, whether this trend, and I think we can call it a trend after a decade of that, that an owner occupancy is going to continue to decline. If it does, what impact does that have? Another one of the unanswered questions is, what does this do for people of color in Milwaukee who are trying to create wealth? Homes used to be sort of a source of wealth over time. Now with these properties in the hands of people who don't live here, that opportunity to build wealth is not there. We can argue about whether that housing is still the same value it used to be. Those are important questions that we don't know the answer to. But I think you can also safely say that the more uncertainty about markets and particular neighborhoods, the more people wonder about the future of neighborhoods, they see changes in their neighborhoods, probably not a long-term healthy indicator.
And that's the kind of the trouble, right? Because going into housing is a long-term game, an investment.
Has been historically.
Historically, yeah,
exactly.
And it's worth saying that, you know, most homes in Milwaukee are still owned by an owner-occupier. Just about 70% are owned by an owner-occupier. But this trend also affects them because it means that fewer of their neighbors own those houses. More of their neighbors' houses are owned by people who don't even live in Wisconsin who may have never even seen that particular home.
Now, I'm curious. I know this is more so a follow-up on how things were impacted when Milwaukee no longer had the resident requirement. That kind of led you to these numbers. But you mentioned the email before of an example of a next-door neighbor not knowing who the landlord was across the street. Have you heard any other things, or what would you want to know from a resident's perspective or a renter's perspective who perhaps want to own a home but are facing these obstacles?
One thing that I would want to know from this story is exactly who owns these properties and how do they view this investment that they have. Do they view it as they're going to come in and fix up the homes and flip the homes, and that's fine, and make a profit, but improve the neighborhood in the process? Or do they intend to own a home for a certain period of years, extract rental money from that home for the same period of years, and put less into it because they don't intend to own it for, you know, their own? I don't know. I think that's one of the questions. One of the things that I think we want to look at as we move forward is just exactly what is this ownership model all about? And there are some indications, some other studies that have been done around the country that this is – Milwaukee may not be that different than some other places, that this has become a way, an effective way to have a business. And you buy up as many properties as you can afford. You rent them out at a certain rate, and you make money.
Anything for you, John?
I'm actually looking to buy a house right now, and doing this work has really made me realize how important it is for me to research who owns the homes in the neighborhoods that I'm looking at buying in, who will be my neighbors, not just the people who live there, but the people who are responsible for the upkeep.
All important questions, and hopefully, as if you do dive into these a little further, we can have you back in and dive into this even more.
There's a lot more, I think, here to explore. Yeah.
Definitely. All right. Well, Mike Goucher and John Johnson, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike Goucher is a distinguished fellow in law and public policy at Marquette University Law School. John Johnson is a research fellow at the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. They co-wrote an article for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about Milwaukee's falling home ownership rates, and they spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski.